Welcome to the Visegrad Insight podcast from Central Europe on Central Europe.
Welcome everyone. 25th of September, Monday, starts a week which hopefully will not be as turbulent as the previous one, though we have upcoming Slovak elections, which according to me and sitting here Adam Jasser, my name is Wojciech Przybylski, have been expected to bring a lot of at least question marks in relationship to Central European position on Ukraine. And similarly, we have observed last week a number of tensions between Poland and Ukraine over the grain issue, and then what is likely to be considered a misrepresented quote from Mr. Morawiecki, who in fact said that Poland currently is not supplying its own weapons to Ukraine because it's arming itself, but it was read internationally as a declaration of the end of support, military support from Poland to Ukraine, which stirred everyone across the globe, including what we read in the reports, a request from the US administration to explain Polish position and this situation. So there is a lot coming up also ahead of Polish elections, and there is more looking into Hungarian question. We have quite a diplomatic stunt by Viktor Orban, again blocking Sweden's accession to NATO and again undermining European unity position towards the conflict in Nagorno-Karabakh, essentially condemnation of hostilities of Azerbaijan on Armenia. So we started this week with a very much more informed weekly outlook and very, very interesting read. Adam, what would be your key takeaways from the discussion on Central Europe, from Central Europe?
Thank you, Wojciech. Well, I think it's election time. You know, elections in Slovakia and Poland are certainly important from the point of view of where Central Europe is going to be heading. We see the deterioration in relations between Poland and Ukraine, which may be surprising to some people, but not to readers of Visegrad Insight, because we've been signaling trouble there since April this year. It's just the inability of the Polish government to play a strategic game and subject everything to electoral concerns. So the U-turn in Poland is surprising to some, but not to our readers, I would think.
Yes, read our piece from 2 weeks ago, and you'll know it.
So, some of the fundamental issues have come up, which is that Poland perceives Ukraine as a potential rival long term.
In terms of economic competition, EU integration.
Security as well, because now, you know, with America invested so heavily in Ukraine, Poland, some in Poland may see this as a sort of zero sum game. If Ukraine gains, then Poland loses, which is, of course, a sort of political philosophy of the ruling Law and Justice Party anyway, this zero-sum game thinking. In Slovakia, the Prime Minister, ex-Prime Minister Fico, who may come back to power in the elections, he's been at least more consistent, signaling that he has a different opinion about Ukraine and delivering arms. But on the other hand, he's also known as a pragmatic person who can change position and who is not necessarily going to be as an important player.
I have to intervene here, okay. Because we will have a snapshot of the discussion we have had on Slovakia. State of Slovakia discussions were hosted by Visegrad Insight last week, and Beata Balogova, editor in chief of SME, I think she explains the profound difference in what Mr. Fico has been in the past and what he is today as essentially a villain, a person who is escaping criminal conviction. He has managed to do so in this term of the parliament, and he's coming with vengeance to the game. And his comeback might not be the same Mr. Fico we've known
I fully agree with the probability that this may happen. You know, if you compare Mr. Kaczyński's first term in power in Poland compared to today, that's also a huge difference. You know, the any moderation that accompanied him back then is gone. So Mr. Fico may follow in the same footpath. But what I wanted to stress is that while Central European unity on Ukraine may crack, and Viktor Orban may end up not being the only one sort of playing the anti-Ukrainian card, at the end of the day, Poland's way is much bigger in all of this equation. And the Polish election is going to be crucial from this point of view, because at the end of the day, Slovakia's clout in the EU and in NATO is too small to really go against the current. But if Poland, Slovakia, and Hungary become the opponents of Ukraine's EU membership, then we're in serious trouble.
And in fact, the ruling party in Poland is entering into really difficult waters in terms of opinion polls. They do not have a majority. The difference in opinion polls between them and the main contender for power as a civic platform of the opposition is actually getting narrower, and we see a tendency that PIS is losing the support. At the same time, the other extreme right party, which is Konfederacja, as a strange animal that has been considered a potential ally of PIS in such a government, may simply not make it with the numbers necessary to form a coalition. It will altogether, as I think you mentioned a few times, will produce a situation most likely of a hung parliament. And that is driving some desperate moves and motives, especially from PIS. We see the efforts to grab the nationalist vibes and the protectionist elements of Polish economy, Polish interest, that moves all of this debate towards something which is less of a global Poland, more isolationist stance, so less of a player that consolidates the effort, you know, and capitalizes on the society's and economy's effort to support Ukraine, and dugs in for or ducks again in front of the big question of the relationship with Ukraine in inevitably enlarge Europe, because at the same time we're having this discussion that the enlargement is becoming the main discussion point for most of the European elites now. I mean, discussion point is still far from a decision point, but it's much more than anyone has expected again a couple of months back. And the ambitions and the drive is actually to get to the point where the enlargement is becoming a reality. In this light, it's worth to mention quite a technocratic report by a group of 12 experts commissioned by both French and German ministries last week. It was released led by Daniela Schwarzer from the Bertelsmann Foundation currently, which explains that these governments, well, maybe in their clumsy technocratic way and without political factual will, are actually preparing for a big move, while Poland is sort of leaving the empty space because of this squabbles over grain and small economic interests.
You're absolutely right. It's a paradox that Ukraine's neighbors in Central and Eastern Europe, who seem to have the biggest stake in Ukraine's success and its membership in the EU, seem to be growing cold on it, whereas the Western part of Europe, which traditionally was skeptical about Ukraine's prospects, seem to have finally switched something in their strategic thinking. And there is a commitment there now. So, okay, it's still a very long way, but this sort of reversal of strategic approach by the East and the West of the EU is something we will certainly have to follow.
And we will, starting with the elections in Slovakia in a couple of days only, and then in Poland in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening. And now let's tune in to Beata Balogova explaining the prospects of Mr. Fico coming back.
This election is not only about Slovakia and Slovaks. This election is also about the decision if Orbán, Viktor Orbán, will have an ally in Central Europe to kidnap the Visegrad group, if he has an ally to continue disintegrating some of the European institutions from inside, concretely the European Union, but also NATO. And there will be a decision if the results will give more encouragement to additional autocrats. Because this election will be also about the future of Robert Fico, who 5 years ago, I was among journalists who already wrote in commentaries that Fico is dead, you know, after, especially after the murder of Jan Kuciak, we really thought that he's gone. But we underestimated the effect, the Orbán effect in the region, because Orbán prepared a perfect handbook for autocrats, how to grasp power and how to talk to those parts of the society where you don't need arguments, you only need to find the perfect enemy. And he already gave a recipe who the perfect enemy is. And right now, if we follow the election campaign, so we can see that the perfect enemy are the migrants. These autocrats never call them refugees, even though we are talking about refugees. So they are the migrants, liberals. Liberals is quite a wide group. Anything can fit into the category of liberal. Journalists, Soros, George Soros, or anyone who opposes their policies or critical, even Brussels. And the third group is right now, actually, the people who want war. And this characteristic fits for everyone who is supportive of Ukraine and who says that Ukraine has the full right to defend itself in the war. And this was also, that kind of narrative was also the winning narrative of Viktor Orbán during his last elections. And it's, we want peace, not war. And so these are the narratives. And if you allow me to go back to Robert Fico, because I, during my conversations with diplomats, especially Western diplomats, I often get the question, isn't it so that Robert Fico is now just playing the tough guy? He's anti-American, he's really anti-Ukrainian. And once he wins, he will go back to the point where he was 4 years ago. And this sentiment, seeing Orbán as this Janus-faced, double-faced politician who basically says one thing, very tough things for his voters, but when he is in conversation with European institutions, he goes back to normal. And my response is no, because this is not the same Robert Fico. This Robert Fico already exchanged his electoral group, because in order to come back to power, he really needed to harvest votes from the groups of fascist parties. So he really, by his narratives and by his addresses, he targets the extremist group of voters. What he also does is that he legitimizes some of their agenda, which is very dangerous, because Smer parties still seem as a regular European party in many sense, even though they were dipping in corruption and we have been very critical, but we had not called them a neo-Nazi or an extremist party. But now they are saying things that actually voters of the extremist parties feel, because they feel hostile to the LGBTQ community, they feel hostile to Americans, they feel sentiments for Russia, they feel sentiments to Putin, and they are critical of Brussels. And now they are served all in one package. Moreover, they feel that we no longer have to say that secretly in our bedroom. We can openly talk about it because Robert Fico, who was a three-time prime minister, talks about it as well. And so that's why the stake in these elections is so high, because once Robert Fico wins the elections, so he is not going back to being a pro-European guy who might be tough when talking to his voters group. Also, what happens is that Orbán will have a partner for putting more pressure on the European institutions, for putting more pressure on NATO, because we know right now Orbán doesn't have so many partners in vetoing, let's say, some of the European resolutions, but once actually Fico wins, he will have that partner. So I would say that these are the main points that very briefly I can describe as stakes in the elections. And your question, maybe one more thought on what kind of government will emerge. The government will not, there is no version of outcome in which you would get an ideal government. The government will be a government of compromises, even if, the progressive Slovakia wins. This will be a government, a fragile government, unless Robert Fico wins and he shapes a completely anti-European government, which will have one goal, to stay in power as long as they are able to stay in power. And since I mentioned that their way of ruling the country is to point at enemies, so Robert Fico, just like Viktor Orbán, will need to win every single day. He will need to continue talking to his groups of voters and showing that, okay, we won again today. We again defeated these people who want to plant migrants in our country, who want to steal the identity from our children, who wants gender change, teaching gender change at the schools. So Robert Fico won't be the same. And I think this is really like a whole European challenge.
That was Beata Balogova, editor-in-chief of SME Daily, the biggest daily newspaper in Slovakia, from our discussion for subscribers, State of Slovak Politics, part of the series State of Slovakia, run at Visegrad Insight. Over a week earlier. Stay tuned for more episodes of Visegrad Insight and do subscribe to our online events. My name is Wojciech Przybylski and I was joined by Adam Jasser.